6. This is the Back from the Brink edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Sorry, forgot what I was talking about there for a second. It's been a long weekend, and I mean that in more ways than one, actually. Since I recorded episode 225 last Wednesday, I have done a whole lot of nothing and a whole lot of everything. It's been a crazy weekend. My birthday was actually last Friday, so I took Thursday and Friday off because we had tickets to go to a Phillies game, which I did some tweeting from. If you follow my Twitter stream, twitter.com/caffeination, you'll see I posted some pictures from that and managed to find out after the fact, unfortunately, that one of the other people I follow on Twitter was actually at the same Phillies game in the same section, only four rows in front of me. It's just kind of funny to connect with people on that kind of level, and if it had happened a little bit earlier, I might have been able to shake his hand, but still, you know, it's kind of fun. Friday, we spent the entire day at the zoo as a nice family. I took some fun pictures of that and posted them again over to Twitter, mainly because I forgot batteries for the digital camera, so they kind of died halfway through, and that's not something that, you know, engenders confidence with a wife, but still. Yeah, I'm bad with the camera sometimes. So it was just a fun weekend. We went out to a club last night. I mean, it was just insane. It was just one from one end to the other. And I got to tell you, after spending the entire day in the sun, both Thursday and Friday, I had no energy left with what to blog. So I kind of took, you know what, I'm just going to step away from everything. I unplugged from email. I unplugged from everything. So from Thursday until the latter half of today, I was pretty much incommunicado, whatever the proper term there is. But hopefully everybody else out there had a great weekend, no matter how long yours was. Going back to work after 4 days off does give you a little bit of a refreshed feeling. Hey, even going back after 2 days gives you a nice refreshed feeling as well. We have a great show lined up for you today. Of course, this being the Caffeination number 226, we have the news on today's show is going to include coffee, Earth Day, PayPal, Voltron, cheese, and espresso. All that in one fun-loving show. It's all about coffee, and we do have some interest. It's all about coffee, caffeine, culture, technology, news, and we have a little bit of a dash of PodSafe music, kind of a different vein than we usually go in at the end of today's show. A little funky, so we'll see if you like that. Hopefully you do. We've got a lot of fun stuff, like I said. We have a decent amount of real news bites, some interesting stuff floating down in TechCrunch. Then we have a couple little things in caffeine and food to send you on your way. It's been kind of fun. So the Caffeination Podcast, of course, is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's BLUBRRY. And we are a Puzzle Piece production. To find out more about what that means, head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com. Let's see what else we got for you. Oh, yeah, we did want to talk to you a little bit about the sponsor for today's Caffeination. The Caffeination is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. When you meet with colleagues or clients in person, you end up spending a fortune on gas or airfare, and you waste time in traffic, airports, and hotels. All that waste for just a two-hour meeting. This problem will not trouble you any longer. Just do more and travel less. Hold a meeting online from your computer with GoToMeeting. Everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com during their conference call and sees your computer desktop on their monitors. Get more done in less time without the hassle of driving or flying. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. Just with this special offer, just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts, and you too can get your free trial today. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. And then we're going to delve right on into the real news bites. I already explained a little bit about the hiatus, and we'd like to put a little call out there. If anybody out there has interesting topics that they'd like to know a little bit more on. My areas of expertise are wide, but I've gotten some interesting questions in recently. But we're trying to build up the no-to section. Like, we had the interesting little snippet on RGB and CMYK last week, and we're going to be doing a couple other different things. A lot of it's going to be in graphics at first, and then, you know, it's kind of an offshoot of what I do in work. I actually run a podcast in work as well. So, you know, as soon as I build up the different things that people are curious about knowing, you know, just if there's something that's been troubling you, like different antivirus clients, anything like that, please feel free to send them over to caffeination@gmail.com, and I'll gladly work on getting you the right answer and hopefully being able to help some other people along at the same time. All right, first up in Real News Bites, everybody's prepping for Earth Day, which, by the way, if you did not know when Earth Day is, it's actually Tuesday, the 22nd of April, or this Tuesday, the 22nd of April, rather. And there's a organization online called Press Display that is trying to engender a little bit of conservation by telling everybody that they need to switch over to reading digital newspapers, as opposed to getting the standard issue newspaper. And I like this idea. I really think it's a pretty cool idea. And although, you know, I would also kind of piggyback onto that, you know, send a little missive on over to a lot of the different newspapers and stuff that they should probably redo their websites to be a little bit more user friendly so that people would be able to do so, you know, a little bit more easily. But there's this service called Press Display, which allows you to switch to digital newspapers. So it offers over 600 newspapers in 74 countries, 38 languages, free for the entire month on PressDisplay.com. I'm not sure if you're actually going to get to be able to do this after the fact, but the thing is, you know, even if you can't do this after April, even if they're trying to, you know, just jumpstart their business, which they probably are, it's a good idea, you know, to switch off, you know, from your standard tactile newspaper. If you have a phone, you know, you could probably, you know, if you have a smartphone, you can do, you use an RSS reader on that. If you have an iPod Touch, same deal, iPhone, everybody knows that, you know, laptops and everything else like that. But a lot of people really haven't leveraged the advantage of what RSS is yet. And if you don't know what that is, let me just take like a half second to explain it. RSS stands for Real Simple Syndication. The idea is that there's a file specifically sitting on every website, including caffeination.com, that is basically, it's called your RSS feed. It's a list of all of the recent content to be put up on your website. And every time you add something to the website, this file gets updated, and the old stuff's taken out for the most part, and the new stuff's put in. That's just how the standard issue RSS feed works. How this becomes useful to you as the consumer is, there's a bunch of different places out there and a bunch of different things out there called RSS readers, so that all you have to do is find the location of where that RSS file is on all the different websites, and it's usually indicated by a little button that says RSS feed, or feed icon, or there's a little orange icon with like a radio symbol on it that is up in the browser, and that has a link to where this file is located. You copy that link into Google Reader or any of the other RSS readers that are out there, and you never have to touch it again. Most of them update automatically. A lot of email clients out there, like Outlook and Thunderbird, actually will accept RSS feeds now, so they'll update you on your news. I mean, I get all of my sporting news in RSS. I get 95% of my tech news. Most of the webcomics and everything I read come in there. So it's just really simple syndication. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They aptly named. So yeah, I might actually do a little no-to article on exactly what RSS is to kind of help people out with that. But you know, if you know, even if you don't try the Press Display thing, because I think you might end up having to pay for it after a little bit, I really like the idea of trying to switch off from, you know, trade publications, like trying to get all your magazines delivered to your house, and kind of, you know, switching on to more of the tuned-in perspective of reading all your news online. And it just seems to be a little bit more of an interesting idea. And as soon as something like an affordable ebook reader, not necessarily the Kindle or anything like that, you know, the Amazon.com version of an ebook reader, as soon as something like that comes out, I think, you know, yeah, maybe something around like $50. I think that'd probably be the price point most people would be willing to pay, where you can just have, you know, even if it's syncing up to the computer or something, where you can just have an easily manageable, readable interface for text articles and stuff like that. I just think it'd be really kind of interesting and fun to play with. All right, moving right along, because you don't want to spend too much time waxing poetic on stuff like that. PayPal says better safe than pretty, and better safe than old. But yeah, I like the pretty line first. PayPal is planning to ban unsafe browsers. So if you use PayPal and you're trying to log in and you're trying to use your old version of Internet Explorer, like Internet Explorer 5 for your Mac, and it hasn't been supported for several years, PayPal is going to start giving you a nice big warning, because those browsers don't have anti-phishing protection. So phishing with the PH, as in pretty hot and tempting. But no, basically there's a software ingrained in Firefox and the newer versions of Internet Explorer, and I think Opera as well, that warn you when you're going to a site that is not that site. So if you were going to eBay.com, or if you were going to PayPal.com specifically in this case, and it wasn't PayPal, it was just made to look like it, and there was a... There's a rather nefarious practice called spoofing, which allows nefarious websites to pretend to be other things in the interest of getting your password and all that other fun stuff out of you. A little bit of social engineering is usually involved, a little bit of tricking you into clicking different links. PayPal never always tells you never click on any of the links in their emails, and, you know, please don't. You know, go to PayPal.com and check all your status messages out that way. But what they're going to be doing is, first they're going to be giving everybody a nice big warning, and then they're going to be blocking those browsers. And one of the browsers that they're going to be blocking is Apple's Safari. Because Safari, even though it's a rather pretty browser, and even though it's a, you know, pretty much the end-all and be-all of browsers when you're on the Mac, for most people. I mean, I know a lot of people who have Macs who use Firefox or use Opera. I've actually been using Opera a lot more because the last version of Firefox I have on there doesn't seem to play very well for some reason. I don't know why. But, Safari is kind of like ingrained in the operating system. It's built by Apple, so it's very slick, it's very attractive looking, and it operates rather well on for most people. But it's not necessary. It doesn't have that anti-phishing technology built into it anywhere. I guess they tried to go a little bit more lightweight than they should have, so you're not going to be able to access PayPal with it. They were saying something like the end of the month or something like that. So that's pretty impressive. And, you know, I'm pretty sure Apple's going to probably jump right on this, build some kind of little feature in, and then you're going to have to update your software in, like, I don't know, maybe like 5 or 6 days. But it's kind of interesting that PayPal's taking that extra added bonus and, you know, saying, you know what? Rather than stopping people from clicking on the links in everybody else's email, which we can't do, we're just going to make it so that unless you are using a browser that will give you the proper warnings, you can't see our website. So that's pretty cool. Unfortunately, for the people who are using the less than stellar browsers, they're still going to be subject to all the different nefarious little plots. I like that word this today, but still. All right, moving right along again in the real news bites. Still, rather, in the real news bites. Information wants to be free. I wholeheartedly believe that this little tenet of a lot of the different copyright protection acts and everything that seem to flaunt. You know, whenever somebody writes something down, whenever ideas are put forth, it wants to be free. It should be freely spread. It should be shared among people. You know, just to kind of increase the general knowledge of the public at large, especially when it involves scientific research. I think, you know, with the more eyes on something. You know, for instance, when we talked about in the last episode with NASA putting out all of their work, basically, they showed their work when it came to the calculations on whether or not an asteroid would hit Earth. And some kid in Europe looked over it and said, yeah, you know what? You're kind of wrong. You missed a decimal point here. You know, carry the one. And instead of 445,000 to one, it's actually 450 to one. NASA, of course, admitted their error on the last. We talked all about this on the last show. But that's the kind of thing that I really like. I like the fact that people are spreading that. And in that kind of vein, the people who own the estate of Charles Darwin has published, for the first time, 20,000 items and 90,000 images. This is the largest collection of Darwin's work in history. This is all of his notes. This is private papers, mountains of notes, experiments, research, basically everything. Everything he ever published, everything that he ever writ down, put pen to paper to think or muse in a physical form is now available online at darwin-online.org.uk. So even if you don't believe evolution, which I am on the side that does, even if you don't believe that evolution is the end-all and be-all of how that went down, you can still head on over there and check out what the man thought. Or you can look at his research and try and poke holes in it. That's what the whole discussion's about, you know? So I love the fact that they're putting this stuff up online. I really can't wait to see some of the other scientists and some of the other collections that eventually end up online. Not even saying that I'm going to go over there and going to read everything. I might go over there and look for some of the different, illustrations and drawings and stuff that were there. Because some of the early scientific drawings, even by the people who weren't necessarily classically trained in art, are really, really interesting to see exactly what parts of what they decided to emphasize in their drawings. So it's kind of cool. So I just wanted to pass it along. Remember, it's darwin-online.org.uk, and you too can become a internet sleuth. All right, moving right along, last little bit of information in the Real News Bites section for today. The kids are all right, especially if they play video games. It turns out, according to a recent study, that has basically decided to go back over the history of violence in schools and the history of violent behavior and the rise of video games, and basically talk about, compare the rates of violent crime and the rate of video game adoption by people of certain ages. And then this group of researchers decided to do a little bit of research on their own. And they said most commonly, the people who were at the highest risk for committing a violent crime were those who did not engage in the social activity of playing video games. It seems that playing video games is a standard practice for a normal boy's social setting. Probably because since they're so much a part of pop culture at this point, you'd probably be an outcast or more ostracized than normal if you weren't playing video games. You know, with all this stuff, there you can go one way or another with it. And they did, however, say that there were people who were much more at risk, and those are the people who seem to focus specifically and only on the violent video games. They're not saying that's necessarily a causation, but they're pointing out that, you know, this is a statistically significant greater likelihood of getting into trouble if you do not play video games at all, and that the kids who played almost exclusively violent or mature video games for very long periods of time were also more at risk, though there was no evidence of causality. However, what I would say is maybe with these kids, it's not necessarily that the video games themselves caused them to do these things. It's rather that their predilection towards violence was manifested within the choice of video games that they liked. So it's not saying everybody who chooses a violent video game is violent. It is saying that people who choose to be violent would probably choose a more violent video game than somebody who is not. I think I phrased that correctly. I'm probably up for a little bit of wordplay on that one, but yeah, I like picking apart my sentences as well as everybody else's. A little sentential calculus time, but still. Hopefully you enjoy those articles, and you can find all those articles lovingly nestled over at caffination.com. That's caffination.com. All right, we have a bunch of tech cruft to get to right here. We have cheesy news first up, first and foremost, over at mopo.ca. That is the master of the painfully obvious in Canada. A hacker proposes using Bejeweled. Apparently, this gentleman by the name of Bernie Peng decided to break the code for the popular video game Bejeweled and have it set so that when a certain high score was reached, or when a certain score was reached by his girlfriend, that a message popped up and said, "Will you marry me?" I wonder, I'd like to actually see a screenshot of what it actually looked like, because I think that's pretty cool. I mean, did the gems come down and say, "Will you marry me?" Or did it just blank out the screen? I mean, either way, it's really cool. And what you would think would happen is that the maker of the game, PopCap, would probably sue the guy and he'd be arrested. That's not what happened at all. And I'm going to quote what it says here. Garth Chotreau, spokesman for PopCap, says, "Most video game companies would frown upon people manipulating their games, but it won him a woman. As a bunch of geeks, we have to say, Bernie, hats off to you. The company is also supplying copies of Bejeweled to hand out as favors to wedding guests." I thought that was kind of cool. It's kind of a fun little play on how everything works. And yeah, I'm filing it under cheesy news, but I just thought it was fun to pass along. All right, now next thing we have up here, I swear to you, Voltron is going to be next. That's going to be the next robot that we are capable of building. It's going to be soldiers on the field, you know, operating large mechanical creatures, and you know, when they face an enemy too great for any one of them to individually handle, they will assemble Voltron. That's going to be the next thing, because the U.S. Army has decided to put further developmental funding into the research of robotic suits. So actual, fully functioning exoskeleton programs of where a soldier will be in, like, a mech. So we're either going to have one of two things here. We're going to recreate Voltron, or we're going to have Transformers on the battlefield, which both of which would be unbelievably awesome, especially for their 80s reference. I think it would actually be really cool if, like, you know, you had, like, the mini little robots that all joined together, and, you know, one would be, like, the red leg, and... But you, even putting that aside, these crazy big mechs that we've seen from, like, you know, Mech Warrior video games and Armor Core for the Xbox and a bunch of other different ones. I mean, that'd just be kind of interesting to see. And just the more technology and the more armor that you wrap around a normal soldier, you know, the less likely they have a chance of actually, you know. coming to a problematic area. I mean, I just think that's kind of cool. I think it's about time that certain elements of technology were leveraged in this way. And I wondered why, you know, the research into exoskeletons and such hadn't really gone further than it already has. But, you know, then again, we can always just take solace in the fact that currently available, there's a way to turn any garden variety GMC Yukon XL, those giant SUVs, into a weapon. Yeah, that's right. There's a company out there. The Dillon Aero SUV is a government-issued GMC Yukon XL that has a Gatling gun in the top of it. Yes, that's correct. You might be walking down the street one time, you see this big black SUV drive by, all of a sudden somebody pops out from a makeshift turret in the top with a Gatling gun. This is insane. There's a video of this over at Trend Hunter. You got to take a look at this. And yeah, you know, they're making the standard issue road rage comment, but I don't understand. Like, I can see, okay, crowd control. You bring some horses in. You bring some cops with tasers. There's tear gas. I don't think of very many areas in which, you know, you need to pop a Gatling gun out of a fully concealed thing. I mean, yeah, drug lords might want one of these. Arms dealers, I could see that, but not necessarily fully fledged governments. I can't really picture a scenario in which this would be a great idea. I mean, maybe, you know, I don't even know. I'm much more of a pacifist when it comes to this stuff. Why don't you make the cars more bulletproof rather than having the cars that decide to return fire? So it's just kind of crazy, but just wanted to pass it along. Hopefully you found the video entertaining. And then there's the old adage of fighting fire with fire. How would you like to take a look at this? This is a jet-powered but useless fire truck. Useless, I say, because the standard-issue water tanks that are on the inside of this fire truck had to be removed to make room for the Russian MiG fighter pilot turbine. Yeah, you heard me correctly. This thing looks to be like 30 feet long of turbine. They replaced the innards of the fire truck. No video on the thing actually firing off, which I'm kind of disappointed about, but I really, really think this is insane. I mean, if they could somehow manage to both have the jet turbine and have the fire truck capability. I mean, yeah, you could always strap a ladder onto the side, and if Fluffy got stuck in a tree, you're there in under 4 seconds. But the turbine itself is 27 feet long, 5.5 feet in diameter. They said the blowback from this engine is capable of flipping an SUV. So this isn't the kind of fire truck you want to, after you get out of the way so that it can pass you, this is not the kind of one you want to kind of slipstream in behind. I'm pretty sure that would probably be deadly in this case. But I mean, I remember the Volkswagen Bug where they had a really small jet turbine in it, and it got up to something like 2 miles an hour, or 200 rather. Yeah, 2 miles an hour. Yeah, that's great. It would get faster than that rolling down a hill. But no, this sucker, I'd like to see a little bit more video on where, you know, it actually can go. I'd like to see a little bit more video rather on how fast it can go, but just, you know, just decided to pass it along because I thought it was interesting. That unfortunately the blog that it links to is called Life on Top, seems to be a little bit less than reputable with some of the stories they put up there. So just enjoy the pictures for right now, and when I find a fun video of this thing going off, I'll try and put it out there. But I linked over to trendhunter.com so you too can check it out. Now, if you've often wondered what would happen if a bird hit a jet airplane, I've been told on different occasions, and I have to find the actual video links, that the government actually sends frozen turkeys through the turbine of commercial jetliners to see, to simulate the damage of a bird flying into or getting sucked into one of those turbines would cause. And, you have a frozen turkey going in at 60 miles an hour. It could do some damage to some metal no matter what. I mean, this isn't the WKRP in Cincinnati incident where they're dropping live or frozen turkeys out of helicopters in the middle of Cincinnati. But, this is some serious stress testing on engines. Well, I don't know which part of the story I'm actually impressed with. There was apparently an F-111 fighter plane, and it was flying around doing its deal. That's a bomber, for those of you who don't know. It was flying around 3,000 feet during a test bombing raid when it collided with a Pelican. Not the airplane, a Pelican, the actual bird, a Pelican. And they're not small birds. In fact, it pretty much demolished part of the plane. It glanced off the nose cone, which completely shredded the nose cone. You have to head on over to ogizmo.com to see the video or the pictures of this. But I'm impressed by the amount of damage that it caused and the ability for the plane to still be landed afterwards. They're saying plane 1, Pelican 0. But, I think the Pelican scored a fatal hit on the airplane because it shut down one of the two turbines. It put a hole through the wing and it destroyed the nose cone. Now, this is a fighter pilot. And this collided with a flesh and blood bird. That's not necessarily the kind of comparison you'd like to have happen. I'd like to see, an airplane built that can collide with another airplane and escaped unscathed. Not collide with a bird. So, I don't know, I just decided to link it up there because I thought it was fun to look at, and it was really impressive that, the level of design that goes into some of these airplanes, and it's also kind of fun to see the carbon fiber and the fiberglass spun around on the outside of it. So, it was actually happened in Australia. This wasn't in the United States, but it was Evans Head, which is the northern part of New South Wales, about a week ago. So, kind of interesting. And then the second to last little thing that we have here is actually this thing kind of disgusts me a little bit. This is called Cloudvertisement. The idea there is that there's a fun machine that is capable of producing logo-shaped clouds. Now, these are just small. Small little soap sud sculptures that get sent skyward, and they can do them in peace signs, BMW logos, whatever you want. It just kind of irritates me on one part, because the company's name's Flogos, and yeah, I flying logos, and I really think it's kind of interesting. I think it's a neat technology as it is, but I gotta tell you, I was driving down the highway today, and I'm looking at some of these the billboards. I'm like, if the highway was a website, the people who ran the highway would have gotten paid for these billboards. So I don't know if there's some kind of kickback for the people who sell the advertising space on the billboards that are on either side of the highway to actually help maintain the highway, because that would be good. Or if it's just that, whoever owns the land where the billboard's placed, then that's what happens. Because, without the highway, those advertisements would not have any value. So, It's just also kind of, watching hockey and watching a couple sports over the past couple days, I got to tell you, the amount and the prevalence of advertising in absolutely everything. You can't go to a hockey game without having the Pico Power Play. Pico is the energy company here in Philadelphia. So it's, you can't have, or rather the electric company. There's no more whiteboards in hockey. Everything has a little logo. If somebody gets injured, you go to the Temple Health Systems replay. Why does everything need a sponsor? Like, even down to the even most minute things. Everything's getting charged, everything's getting advertised, and everything's getting monetized. And I'm saying this on a monetized podcast. I'm fully aware of the irony of that. I just think that one thing only should remain pristine: the ability to daydream, the ability to sit down, watch the clouds roll by without having to worry, oh, does that look like a BMW? Oh, yeah, the new S10 or the new X10 series is coming out. You know, it's like nobody needs to see that. You don't need to see a logo flying away invading everybody's personal space. Leave daydreaming alone. So luckily, the logos are small at this point, but I could definitely see some larger venture actually creating a massive sized logo. And you know what? I don't think it needs to happen. I gotta tell you. I'm trying to calm down. I'm trying to not rail upon this extensively. It just kind of seems like an invasion of my personal space more so than anything I've seen recently. All right, moving right along to the last little thing in the tech cruft little section here. If Homer floats nice, it's a fun little thing to end the tech cruft section on. This is a little radio for your pool, and I gotta like radios for the pool, even though we don't have a pool here. It's basically a figurine of Homer Simpson laying on his back with where his belly button is, there's a can of Duff beer. So I'm pretty sure you could put whatever, it would be really neat to actually put whatever kind of beer you would normally drink in there. But this is actually probably the volume knob. And it's the entire thing's a floating radio. It's just fun. It runs on a set of AAA batteries and it's only $40. So I just thought I'd pass it along to you. Hopefully you enjoy it. All right, moving right along to the next little thing we have here. This is, of course, the caffeine and food section. So we got three little things, the PodSafe music, and then you are out of here, my friends. Cheesy news for the caffeine and food section, cheese sculptures. Yeah, they're talking about how these are eco-friendly edible art. And they're basically saying, you know, there's different little competitions and things that are done and sculpted in cheese. So I just decided to put it up there because, first of all, I had the cheesy news section from the beginning of this. And that and the actual artistry that is involved in shaping this cheese is really kind of cool. It's really rather well done, but it's from a woman who's called Sarah the Cheese Lady. So I'm assuming that Sarah the Cheese Lady works extensively in cheese, or else she would be Sarah the something else. But still, it's kind of fun, kind of cool. So hopefully you can head on over there and check that out. All right, from over at our friends at Hackaday, they've found a way to turn two rather interesting and rather separate arts into something rather similar to each other, the first of which being the Wiimote. Yes, the Wiimote, the nunchuck specifically for the Wiimote, it is actually one of a two-part controller system for the Nintendo Wii. And they used this and they melded it somehow with a Aurediano Silvia. It's a kind of espresso machine, and it's somehow there's a way to actually has the NES controller to become a controller for the espresso machine itself. It's incredibly technical, but it's just awesome nonetheless. And one of the comments that they had over at Hackaday was actually it'd be fun to see how much if they could refuse service to people who were too jittery. So that is, if your hand was shaking from too much espresso, they would actually be able to refuse service to you. I thought that was kind of funny. I don't really think it's actually going to happen, but apparently there's an accelerometer inside the actual nunchuck that allows it to produce commands to the espresso machine. So kind of cool, but way over my head, technologically speaking. I'm not going to be taking a Dremel to my new espresso machine anytime soon. And then the last little bit of news we have before we send you along your way with some fun PodSafe music is a larger review of the recent caffeine intake studies basically concludes what everybody on the planet has already figured out, and it just takes a little bit of scientific reasoning before it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Moderation is the key, even with caffeine, even with everything, with alcohol, with whatever the case may be. Moderate intake of 300 milligrams a day, 3 cups of coffee per day, does not cause adverse health effects in healthy adults. So basically, temper everything you do with a little bit of resistance. And they're saying that, you know, caffeine is not this hyper-addictive drug. It does have certain symptoms that, you know, symptoms of excitement, restlessness, and nervousness, insomnia, basically a whole bunch of other symptoms may occur if consumption exceeds 1,000 milligrams per day, which is a lot. But, you know, just like everybody else out there has said before, everything in moderation and you'll be fine. So just wanted to pass the little story along here. I know I had promised a little bit of Podsafe music at the end of the show. The only problem here is that the song that I picked kind of stopped halfway through. And this being around 11:30 at night, I just can't bring myself to go back and find the correct version of the song, because apparently I ended up stopping halfway through the download. Somehow it got interrupted. So I promise you I'll play the same song, which is going to be the Beat Assassins' I Say Whatever on the next show. Don't know exactly what happened to it, but I decided to just let the episode sit as is, and hopefully you'll understand, and we'll get the right stuff in on the next one. Many apologies. However, you have been listening to the Caffeination Podcast, found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network, and we're also proud to be a Puzzle Piece production. So this has been Caffeination, like I said, 226, back from the brink. Thank you for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.